A reading from the Gospel of St. Mark, the 9th chapter, verses 33 to 50. And when they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you discussing on the way?" But they kept silent, for on the way they argued with one another about who was the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12, and said to them, "If anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all." And he took a child, and put him in the midst of them, and taking him into his arms, he said to them, "Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me." John said to him, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not stop him. For no one who does a mighty work in my name will be able soon after to speak evil of me. For one who is not against us is for us. For truly I say to you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ will by no means lose his reward. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. And if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than with two hands to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life lame than with two feet be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes be thrown into hell, where their worms does not die and the fire is not quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltiness, how will you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. For our meditation on God's Word, we welcome Pastor James Uglem, Chapel of the Cross Lutheran Church, St. Peter's, Missouri.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you heard the popular saying, "If all you've got is a hammer, you tend to see every problem as a nail"? Or maybe you've heard the other version that I like better because my son Jonah is almost 4 and loves hammers. The other version goes like this: "Give a small boy a hammer, and he will find that everything needs pounding." Well, don't, Jamie, and I know that's true. There is something to these quotes, though. See, they express the truth that there are multiple solutions to the problems that we face in this life. Having only one tool to address a given problem is just downright silly. It's foolhardy, even. If you want to patch a hole in your wall, the last thing you'll reach for is a hammer, especially if that hammer is in the hands of a very eager 4-year-old. This problem obviously calls for a different approach. And we see this play out again and again in our lives. Not every problem has just one solution. But then in walks Jesus today, not with a hammer, but an axe. He says, "Is your hand causing you to sin? Simple, just cut it off. Is your foot the problem? Well, simple, cut it off. Is your eye leading you into sin? Well, then it's simple, cut it out." It seems like if you give Jesus an axe, he'll find that everything needs chopping. I think about the other body parts Jesus might have mentioned that might be more relevant to some of our sinful behaviors today. Does your tongue cause you to say sinful things about others? Well, then simple, cut it out. Do your fingers on a keyboard lead you into sin? Well, then simple, chop them off. When we begin to really think about it, every part of our bodies can and do often lead us away from God. Every part needs to go. But we recoil at that thought. We tell ourselves that Jesus couldn't really have been serious. He must just have been talking in hyperbole. He didn't really mean it that way. I mean, if we were to actually do what Jesus commands here, the wounds would multiply and we would die. And there's the rub. See, if you give Jesus an axe, he'll find that everything needs chopping. The sin of our hands and tongues and ears and mind, they are deadly serious problems. Nothing short of eternity and God's kingdom is at stake. So according to Jesus, they have to go. There is no other way. These aren't problems with multiple solutions. There are no different approaches that will work. Only one. Which is precisely why Jesus came. He provides for the death of our sin, for our deaths through our baptism into his death. You know, Paul put it this way in Romans 6. Don't you know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him, for the death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. What Paul says here is profound. The sin in us, in myself, in yourself, it can't simply be cut out. It must be put to death. We must be put to death. And God accomplishes this through our baptisms into Jesus' death on the cross. We're killed there, and then made alive again by the same power of God that raised Jesus. So now consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. May this good news strengthen you to live as his child today. In his name, amen.
We thank Pastor James Uglum for today's meditation on God's Word.